You found it. The best place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Hey, wake up, everybody. Good morning. It's John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI, 5 minutes after 7. Thank you for letting me be part of your listening day. Make me part of your commute or wherever you're going this President's Day. With me here in our studios, Chris Widener, someone who you might not have heard of, who you need to get to know, heads an organization called Positively Republican, about which more in just a brief moment. The topic I wanted to get into is that we keep hearing how badly damaged the Republican brand is ever since the election. That the Republicans need to reimagine what the party is and what it stands for. I would say that there have been three periods where the Republicans have done some serious, have been forced by election returns to do some serious reassessing about what they stand for. The first was the election in 1976 that brought us Jimmy Carter. A terrible drubbing in the 74 midterms. Richard Nixon had resigned a few months earlier, and then Jimmy Carter is elected, and there was serious conversation about whether the Republicans were going the way of the Whigs and needed a new party, or whether we just needed a third party in American politics. Ronald Reagan ended that conversation when he said that if he ran, he would not run on a third party. He would run for the Republican Party nomination. He said, nothing wrong with a party. They just need to pay more attention to its principles. Then, 12 years after Ronald Reagan was elected, the 1992 election that swept Bill Clinton into power. Terrible drubbing for Republicans in this state. Democratic governor, Democratic legislature, Democratic congressional delegation. And Republicans said, what are we here for? Well, 2 years later came the huge Republican earthquake of 1994 that brought Newt Gingrich, House Speaker, brought Republican majorities in Olympia in the legislature. And then, of course, Barack Obama with a terrible economy winning re-election. So I've got some polling data here in front of me that shows that according at the end of 2012, after the election, people who identify themselves as conservative outnumber liberals in 48 states in the union. The exceptions are Rhode Island and Massachusetts. Even states like California, people who identify, self-identify, more people say they're conservative than liberal. Chris Widener from Positively Republican. How much damage has the Republican brand suffered?
Well, I think there's two different things. There's where we are as Americans and what we believe. Another statistic to go on top of what you just said was Gallup just released a poll that showed that 59% of the people disagree with all of Obama's policies except one. I can't remember the one that they agreed with. And so we have where the American public's at and what they believe in. But then you have this brand, and the brand is sort of the – it's a – accumulation of the message and the tone and the image that we present to the public. I think that's our biggest problem, the brand. I would contend that we really don't have a problem that we're completely and totally outnumbered or anything like that. But the brand is where we have to go after it. And unfortunately, I don't find anybody in the Republican Party that understands branding.
All right. Now, what is branding? In your view, making sure the commonality of terms.
Branding is, at its very essence, what people think of immediately when they hear a term or they see a logo or something like that. It's what you represent. And it's really not what you want to represent. It's what the public perceives you to represent. Because if you say we're Republicans and we believe in the free markets and we believe in independence and financial independence and you know, inclusivity and all these kinds of things, but we're saying that and everybody else says, well, you're homophobic and you hate the poor, and you know, that's their perception of our brand. And what we need to do and what any company has to do is they have to recreate their brand so that it matches the perception that the public has, because you want the public public to perceive what it is that you want them to perceive.
So what has a more damaged brand right now? The Republican Party or Carnival Cruise Lines?
Probably currently Carnival Cruise Lines. Yeah, I mean, but we have a branding issue, and we have it with certain demographics that I think we can fix. But we also have it nationally. There's just certain perceptions of people.
Now, I should point out, Chris Widener, local boy with a national reputation, positively Republican, has how many adherents?
We started this 4 days after Barack Obama was elected the first time, November 8th. And remember November 8th, or a few days after the first election? We're never going to get another Republican president. We're never going to have a Republican majority.
Carville wrote a book that says it's going to be a 40-year.
40 years. And so I thought, no way.
Uninterrupted victories.
And as a motivational speaker, as most people think that I do, it's not how I would describe myself, but I travel around the world and I give motivational talks and write books and the like. I thought, wait a minute, we just got out-hoped and out-changed. And all we have to do is change our message. We are the party of hope. We are the party of change. And I said, I'm going to start this thing. I'm going to call it Positively Republican. It's the blending between the Republican politics and what I do in my day job, which is this positive message of being able to achieve what you want to achieve and those kinds of things. Started with one person in my little office in Preston, Washington on November 8th, 2008, and we're over 521,000 people now. And
Half a million,
yeah. I got into a debate with the CFO of the Seattle Times one day, and we were talking. I told him how he could reach more people, and if he would just, you know, bring in some perspective where the Republicans could buy the newspaper and actually enjoy it.
Yes.
And I said, you know, what you're really up against is guys like me, who with a click of a button can reach 500,000 people. You know, that's what mainstream media is up against, is anybody being able to start something. And if it catches, you know, the attention of people, and if it fills a need, you have this ability with technology, going back to one thing we had talked about, you have the ability to reach people on a massive scale.
Okay, well, hold on, because I want to play this quick riff from Newt Gingrich yesterday talking about a Republican reboot. On This Week Without George Stephanopoulos, Jonathan Carl sitting in.
The technology problem is a culture problem. I mean, the Democrats had 54 data analysts and were hiring PhDs in advanced math because they were using the most advanced decision processes in the country. They were bringing in behavioral scientists. They were trying to figure out how do you talk to 311 million people and do so in a way that you can survive 8% unemployment and get reelected. And it worked. Now, I think it's actually, he's right in the sense it's a cultural problem. None of our consultants would have imagined hiring 54 people in the decision area. None of them would have imagined having 24 people, did nothing full time except emails, and then blind tested the best emails to see which ones worked. I mean, they are a Super Bowl team that we ought to respect deeply. And we are currently a mid-level college team floundering around. And I agree, it's not just, you can't just go out and buy this. This is a fundamental rethinking of how you relate to the American people. And frankly, most of it, I mean, I'm embarrassed to say, I thought Election Day we'd win. I couldn't imagine this economy and Obama getting reelected. And that made me think, if your airplane hits the mountain, maybe you better buy new radar. Yeah.
Maybe you better buy a new radar. Yep. Fundamental rethinking of how you relate to the American people?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll tell you a story. I was in a room. It was back during the McCain-Obama first election. I was in a room with Karl Rove. There's about eight of us. And I asked him, I said, who's in charge of the Republican brand? And he said, well, really, it's, you know, it's whoever's your main lead candidate. And so that's what happens. So our brand was rich white guy this time. That's what it happens. Because there's nobody thinking about, there's nobody anywhere with any sort of leadership or influence or power that's saying, how do we remake our party and rebrand ourselves so that these constituencies that we want to reach out to, that we need to reach out to, that we have some similarities with, can actually hear where we're coming from.
So, but here's the other side of that. You're absolutely right. A lot of people looked at Mitt Romney as rich, aloof, white guy. But you know what? Most people who know Mitt Romney say,
I agree.
Dynamic, entrepreneur, great husband and father, saved the Olympics, successful governor.
I agree.
Work with the other party.
But branding has nothing to do with who you actually are. It's what the perception is. And then you have this other group of people that are branding you that way.
Right.
They're positioning you that way. And the more Obama and those guys portray him as rich guy, it's why they talked about dressage. You know, his wife has a horse in dressage in the Olympics. And just the way they pronounce it, all it's designed to do is to marginalize him into a compartment that
right.
the public
this can guy make, doesn't understand you, and therefore doesn't really care about you.
Right. We make snap decisions when we mm-hmm. see something. We see it and we have this thought. That's where it is. Because our brain has all this information, we snap judge and we put people there. So the other side is trying to put us into a spot, and then we're trying not to be in that spot. We're trying to be in the spot where we want them to perceive us. And therein lies the problem. I agree. I was watching them being interviewed by Piers Morgan at the Olympics, the Romneys. And about 20 minutes into it, I turned to my wife and I said, who wouldn't want to be these people? Married 40 years, love each other, great kids, very wealthy, financially independent. You know, it's like, what is there to not like about these people, right?
Right.
And yet, that's me. I'm on their side. I'm willing to be open-minded and to listen. And then you have this group that's just trying to make a snap decision about these people, the people that I call Kardashian Nation, right? They're not thinking about it. They're not doing their research. They're just looking at it going, okay, who are these people? And we got out-messaged. Oh, they're the rich white people. Yeah, that's who they are. And that's the brand. It becomes your brand. So how do we get out in front,
okay, well,
create the message?
I'm going to give you a chance to answer your own question here in
yes.
just a second. Also, take your phone calls, 206-421-5757. That's 421-5757. Outside King County, got 1-888-312-5757. My guest here, Chris Widener from Positively Republican, talking about the branding problems of the Republican Party. And we do have branding problems. Let me give you one statistic that just drives it all home. The Asian vote went 70% for Obama. Now, if you were to think about a subgroup of Americans that live and breathe conservative principle in terms of emphasis on personal responsibility, education, family, socially conservative, not, flamboyant, stable, et cetera, you would have a harder time finding a subset that subscribes those principles than Asian Americans. And yet Asian Americans, which were voting 50-50 just 10 years ago, voted 70-30 for Obama. That's when you know you've got a problem, when the Asian vote is more pro-Obama than the Hispanic vote. Chris Widener.
Well, it's because we're racist. I mean, that's the brand, right? That's how the left has painted us, and we've not done a very good job at fighting that. And so they look at us, well, we don't like minorities. We're only out for the white guy, you know, the rich white guy, even better. And so we have to fight that. And it's about the perception that they have. We know that we aren't racist. We know, I mean, we've got a diverse group of people. I'm involved in politics just as you are locally, and there's a great diverse group of people, and anybody's welcome. And we love
them
all.
The irony is that the party is getting its greatest contributions of diversity from the Tea Party. Tim Scott, the only African-American member of the United States
Ted
Senate.
Cruz.
Ted Cruz, Latino from Texas. Marco Rubio
yeah.
from Florida. Nikki Haley in South Carolina. These are all people who came from the Tea Party, if you will, the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party.
One of the things that we have to realize is what we're up against. And, of course, I think we do realize that. So I'm preaching the choir a little bit here. The whole Saul Alinsky rules for radicals, marginalize your opponent, demoralize your opponent. I mean, that's what we're up against. Their whole job is to destroy us, demoralize us, marginalize us, and paint a picture of us that we can't paint differently for that swing voter. Because mm-hmm. you got the people are always going to vote for them, the people are always going to vote for us, and then you got this swing voter. And this swing voter, they're not a thoughtful voter. They're not ideologically driven. A lot of it is, again, I call them Kardashian Nation. It's like, you know, they don't have these hard-holding, fast-holding opinions. They vote for who the cool guy is or who's hanging out with Jay-Z or, you know, who I think likes me or whatever.
So what you're saying, it's not necessarily ideological. It's not a position
no,
on an issue.
No.
It is more generic than that.
Yeah, let's take the issue of gays. you can go to any Republican meeting and there's lots of gay folks there. We love to have the gay folks. I do. I mean, I got friends that are gay Republicans that have been deeply involved and all that stuff. And yet we hate gays, right? That's the position that people think that we have because we've been branded that way and we've not done a good enough job, to be able to let people know that we are an inclusive party. I'll give you another example, racism. I've been involved deeply in politics, not nearly as long as you have, but for about 12 years, all the little meetings, all the big meetings, all the meetings, right? I've heard one racist comment ever. And as soon as the person said it, in 12 years, and as soon as the person said it, the group of people shot the guy down immediately and told him to sit down and shut up. Right? So we're not racist. We don't care. We don't care if you're black, white, red, purple. Doesn't matter. We want people who want to improve our country. And yet, people say, if you're going to pick which party is the racist party, they'd say, well, probably the Republicans.
Even though it is the Democrats that divide people by race and cater to race.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Let us get to the phones here. Lines open 206-421-5757. That's 421-5757. Outside King County, 1-888-312-5757. Bob, Federal Way, real hurry. Go ahead.
Hi. I think the problem with branding, especially in the state of Washington, is that, and it's frustrated me to watch how our elections have gone, where as a person starts in the eastern part of the state and moves western, the line between differentiation between Democrat principles and Republican principles get blurred. And one of the examples I see, and I go back a ways, was when Mike McGavick, who ran for senator, tried to out Maria Cantwell, and I just didn't quite get how he thought that was going to win.
Well, I think that he knew, and I appreciate the call, Bob, I think that Mike knew in 2006, too late to think twice about running. That was going to be a terrible year for Republicans. That was the year the Republicans had Congress. They lost it. They were spending too much money. There were scandals. It looked like they went to D.C. to do good and instead decided to do well. And Mike was having a very tough time in a blue state, in a very blue year, telling people why they should vote for the red candidate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even when you think about our state, though, our state was the only state in the country that picked up seats in both the state House and state Senate. And it's the second election in a row that we've done that.
You're talking about the Republicans, Washington state,
Republicans in the legislature. Yeah. Right. So one of the things that I want to help combat is this demoralization of Americans, of Republicans. We're sort of like when I was growing up, my mom bought me a dog from a little shelter one time, and her name was Queenie, a little Dalmatian. And every time I went to pet her, she would like shirk her head away, you know? And I say, Mom, why is Queenie doing that? I'm just trying to pet her. Well, her previous owner must have hit her, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel like Republicans are in Washington State. And now nationally, it's like we just duck every time politics comes up because we're about to get beat again.
So in the 90 seconds or so we have left,
yep,
answer your own question. How do you rebrand successfully?
We've got to change the way we interact with the people who we're trying to reach. I just got taken out to lunch about a month ago with one of our state legislators, and he said, how do we reach minorities? And I said, it's not about sending a flyer in there. It's not about positions. It's about the top-ranking, most powerful people. Don't send your aides. Don't send your legislative aides. You guys go. The head of the Senate, the head of the House, the head of the... You guys go and start meeting with them. Embrace them. Listen to them, engage them, create a relationship with them. That's the way you rebrand in the minds. Because right now, all they just hear us saying, we believe this, we believe that. There's no relationship.
As I told you during the break, I think the most sage political advice ever given that is routinely ignored is people don't care what you know until they know that you care.
Absolutely.
And if you haven't forged that relationship, it's like any business. If you think when you walk into a business, they don't really care about you, they just want your money, then you'll always prefer their competitor if they show that they do care about customer service.
Absolutely. And we have to show that we care. We have to engage people at an emotional level, on a relational level, instead of just an intellectual, ideological level.
Tell us in the few seconds we have left about Positively Republican.
PositivelyRepublican.com, very simple to get to. And then our Facebook page, largest Republican Facebook page, is facebook.com/PositivelyRepublican. Really easy to get to and really easy to use.
And you say half a million?
521,000 as of this morning.
How many people here in Washington?
I think it's about 9,000.
Okay. Well, hopefully there'll be a few more.
Hopefully a few more. Thanks for having me, John.
After our conversation. Chris Widener, always great having you here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Thanks for taking the time to swing by. It is, and by the way, speaking of websites, check out KVI.com. Great looking website. And my Facebook fan page, John Carlson Radio.